as we were singing that song, not saying it exactly right, but Lord, help my heart to be touched with what touches your heart. And I just begin to think about the verse there when the scripture talks about David said he was a man after God's own heart. And I think that's what that scripture means. I believe it means that what concerned God concerned David. Amen. What concerned the things that were important to the Lord were important to David. And I know you're sitting there probably thinking about many times in David's life where maybe he didn't do what he ought to do. But when you get over into the New Testament and it says that he was a man after God's own heart, after his whole life was over with, amen, when he's in the grave, it's still testified of him that he was a man after God's heart. Amen. I thought that was a ringing in the mic, but I think that's a vehicle on the road. All right, so let's go this morning. We've been talking about the role of a servant and servanthood. And I think one thing we're learning here is that it's dealing more with just things that we do. We're learning that a role of a servant deals with our heart. Amen? It goes down in somewhere where you and I really can't see with our eyes, but yet it's important in our life. We've been quoting that scripture there where it talks about guarding our heart, for out of it flow the issues of life, that God directs us through our heart, and we need to keep our heart. Guard your heart, the scripture tells us, to guard it. How do we guard our heart? It seems like such a maybe something, you know, we really can't get our hands around. You know, we throw little phrases out there a lot, especially in church, and I'm the kind of person that when I say a phrase, I immediately begin to think about, okay, how do I do that? And so when we talk about guarding our heart, you know, it's something that we need to think about. Lord, how would you have us to guard our heart? What is it that we can do in our own life? Are there some practical things that we can do that would keep our heart? Because if you're directing us through our heart, Lord, it's important that we keep it. And we're going to look at one of those things this morning. And when we're talking about the role of a servant, it is going beyond just taking a cup of water to someone, although that is serving. It's going beyond maybe what we do within the confines of the church building or part of our ministry. The role of a servant is going to the heart. It is a heart issue. And that, you know, it's more than what we do, but God is looking at our heart. There's a lot of people that can serve but may not have the heart of a servant. There's a lot of people that can do that maybe are doing it for the wrong reasons. So it's just not enough to do. It's important that that it's from a heart that God has touched. And so this morning, this aspect of the servanthood that we're looking at today is forgiveness. And we touched on a little bit last week when we were preaching on this role of a servant, and we were talking about the grace of God being sufficient. And that, I think that was our title. I didn't really title this morning. I wish I would have, but maybe I can title it now when we talk about the forgiveness of a servant. And that'd be something good we can remember there, the forgiveness of a servant. And so when we talk about the forgiveness, how we as servants are to forgive, I think we first got to start, and this is the way Scripture teaches forgiveness. We first have to start on how God has forgiven us. In the scriptures that we're going to look at this morning, one thing that's going to become clear to us is that forgiveness is always alongside of God's forgiveness for what we've done. Amen? When we consider the lives of others and maybe offenses that happen in our life, first and foremost, we must remember what God has done for us. So when we talk about this morning forgiveness, it may seem like a little strange place to start, but let's go over into the Psalms first, and then we're going to end up over into the Gospels, and in Matthew especially. And Psalms 103, it's probably a familiar psalm to you when I start to read it especially. It's going to be familiar. I'm not going to read the whole thing. But let's just start there. And I guess we could start this as our foundation for the forgiveness of a servant. And here's our foundation. Psalm 103, start with verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Skip down to verse 10. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgression from us. All right. We can stop there in Psalms. Bless the Lord. Forget not all, the psalmist says that. Forget not all His benefits. And when you think about a benefit, it's something that's been done for you or on your behalf. Now, I don't want to be presumptuous this morning and just assume this, but is anyone, as you read this, as we just read this Psalms, is anyone thinking about what God has done for you this morning? Raise your hand if you have. When you read the Psalms, I see some hands up there of people. When you read the Psalms here, you're thinking about the benefits that God has given to you. So I don't want to speak for you, but I will speak for me this morning that when I read this, I think about the goodness of God in my life. Amen. I think about the great benefits that He has given us. Daily, the Scripture says He loads us with His benefits. Daily. And one of those that the psalmist writes about here, it talks about how He has removed our iniquities far from us. As a matter of fact, he says, as high as the heavens are from the earth, as far as the east is from the west, east is from the west, so far hath He removed our iniquities from us. They never touch, do they? They never come together. I guess when you start heading east, you just keep heading east. When you start heading west, you can continue in that direction. And so the psalmist here is talking about the benefits of the Lord and what he mentions. And I think this is very relevant. More than anything else, he says, He's forgiven. He's removed my iniquities. Now, when I think of David, that's accredited for this psalm here, as we've already mentioned, if there's one that could think about that, if there's one that could consider the Father of all things removing His iniquities from him, it's David. Daily He loads us. Forget not all His benefits. So, in this, as we're launching into this study this morning on forgiveness, I think it's important that we remember. Remember where God has brought us from. Remember what God has forgiven us of. And that's how, when forgiveness is taught in New Testament Scripture, it's always, or it seems to always be, right alongside of what God has done for us. Amen? That's how, when we talk about the role of a servant, why do we serve? Because of what God's done for us. Amen? Why do we give? Because of what's been given us. Why do we forgive? Because we've been forgiven of much. Amen. So now let's go back over into the New Testament. And we're looking at this role of a servant of forgiveness. Let's start first here in the New Testament in the book of Ephesians. And we're going to look at a couple verses there toward the end of chapter number 4 of Ephesians. I like it when, you know, especially the Apostle Paul, that there's certain parts he gets into that just doesn't require a lot of, doesn't require a lot of study. It's just real practical things, just things that you don't have to dig real deep into. It's very clear. And these are one of those passages here when Paul says these things. And in the last part of chapter number 4, of Ephesians, just very practical instruction. Just here it is. Paul says, don't do this, do this. Now, so here's we're going to start with these two verses. We're going to look at the first part. I guess you could say the negative side of it, if we can do that, because that's the way Paul addresses it. He starts with the negative, and then he moves into the positive. He starts with the don't do's, and then he ends with the do's. So let's start with like that. And the last part of this chapter, he says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So this is what we want to put away. These are the negative things we want to get rid of. All right? This role of a servant. And this morning it's going to get a little bit harder than just giving a glass of water. It's going to get a little more difficult than that. When we start talking about forgiveness, we're getting into a whole other realm. All of a sudden, I don't have a problem with someone being thirsty. I can go out and take them a cup of water. That's not that difficult. Or if someone's hungry, I can go out and maybe get them a hamburger or something and give it to them and say, here, be fed. But when we start talking about forgiveness, when we start talking about when we've offended and when others have offended us, that's when it gets hard, doesn't it? And that's what being a Christian is about. Amen. Our walk, our life, how we live. It's more than just taking on this title of I'm this. I think we said it a few weeks ago. It's more, a Christian is not just not being Muslim. Being a Christian is not just, I'm not a Hindu, I'm a Christian. But it's how we live. It's how we walk. And Paul is going to get into some very direct things of how we ought to walk every day. He says, let all bitterness, put away bitterness. I did a quick word search on that word bitterness, and when you're talking about forgiveness, I can see how this is relevant. The word actually means a poison. A poison. He says, now, I don't know about you, but that's not hard for me to put away. You know, I don't have a hard time saying I don't want any poison. Amen? But this is the way Paul chose to word this. He says, let all bitterness put away the poison. All right? And wrath and anger, clamor, or I guess the word would be an outcry. You ever seen anyone? I gotta be careful. Sometimes these messages get emailed around, so I gotta be careful. I'm trying to stop dropping names, Bill. I dropped a few names one time on somebody I knew when I was young. I was like, might want to be careful of that. But and I know a guy that I work with that, boy, I can be in my office, and before long, you know, I can hear somebody just start yelling. I don't even have to go out and look and see who it is. I know. Well, that's such and such. And I don't have to get out of my seat at my desk. I just know who that is out there yelling. Or I can hear something hit a wall. Amen? Oh, that's what this word means. It actually means a word of outcry. To someone just, bah, you know, screaming something out of anger. Well, here Paul is giving us very specific direction. It says, let's put that away. Let's get rid of that. Let's get rid of the bitterness. Let's get rid of the wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. Be put away from you with all malice. Remove it. And that word, that malice there, with all malice, could mean with all evil. Very direct, very specific. He says, put these things away. Let's get rid of them. Let's put them all away from us. Remove them. And then he's going to go here into verse 32 and start talking about the positives and says this. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. All right. Now that's how we get into this forgiveness that we're talking about today. It does seem to be very much alongside of the last part of that verse says, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. I know this ain't real exciting this morning, but I'm going to tell you what, I need to hear this. When we start talking about forgiveness, bitterness, poison, boy, how important it is that we do keep those things away from us. Keep away from the church. Keep away from us as the believers. Now, I know it's important how, you know, we treat the world. And I'll be honest with you this morning. It's sometimes easier for me to go ask an unbeliever for forgiveness than it is within the church. Now, that might not be true of you, but with me, you know, because sometimes I, you know, if you've offended someone out in the world, I guess maybe I consider it part of my ministry. You know, I'm going to minister. I'm going to show that unbeliever what it's like to be a Christian. And I'm going to go to that one and I'm going to apologize. Because I've said things and offended people that were unbelievers. And so I'd go to them. And they do seem a little, you know, surprised by it. I'm like, wow, I didn't expect that. You know, and then I walk away saying, what a Christian I am. You know, what a light I am to this ungodly world. But inside the church, That's when it gets difficult. Because, you know, first off, you know, we're not supposed to offend. I don't want to say something that might offend someone. And so if I come to you and I say, I'm sorry, I'm admitting, I've offended. And that's sometimes hard to do. You know, we like to come to church. We dress up for church. We look good. We, you know, dress up on the outside. We're on the inside, I tell you. You ever come to church, someone, you ever, good morning, praise the Lord, good to be in church, you smiling. You ever had someone just say, well, you know what, it ain't so good. I'm not doing so good. It's easy to put on a smile in church. But boy, when you've offended someone, that's when it gets hard. And it seems like a lot of the places that we're going to look at this morning in dealing with forgiveness and keeping bitterness and offenses out of our life is dealing within the family of God. Because that's where it's important that we don't let the bitterness or the poison get into. Amen? That we do guard our heart. That we do keep these things far from us. As Paul gave some instruction to the Ephesian church, he's talking to saved people. He's not talking to ungodly. He's writing letters to churches that were in the land of that day and giving them instruction, say, don't let these things come in. He took the time to write it down on paper and send it to them because he knew it was important and he knew it was possible that offenses... Matter of fact, Jesus put it this way over in Luke. And we may look at that verse here in a minute. He says, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. And that word offense just simply means this. It means a trap or a snare. And when you talk about someone, when you come up to someone, you say, I'm offended. Well, that means you've been trapped. You have stumbled. You have fallen. The word actually means a stumbling block. You have tripped up over something that was put in your way, and you stumbled over it. And so when you're saying, I'm offended, that means something has tripped you up or caused you to be snared, held captive. And Jesus says this, it is impossible, but they will come. Offenses will come. Let's kind of set that one to a side. We'll look at that again here in a minute. But they will come. And so Paul gives them direction here. Here's how to handle this thing. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Hath forgiven you. All right, now let's go over into Matthew. We're going to look at a couple places here in Matthew and start with Matthew chapter number 5. I think I got this verse this morning, or these few verses this morning, because I think they kind of, they really speak of the priority of forgiveness and how important it is. If you would do a quick study in the New Testament scriptures about the word forgiveness or forgive, you'll find it's all through Scripture. Of course, dealing with I think I heard Chuck Swindoll put it this way. As a matter of fact, I hear him reference this a lot. I listen to him quite a bit on the radio. He talks about our vertical forgiveness, us with God, how that God has forgiven us. So when he speaks of vertical forgiveness, he's talking about between us, and I guess because God is so high and above, the forgiveness that he gives us. And then from there, he'll go into the horizontal forgiveness, or how we give it out to others. You know, so it's us and God, between us and God, and then us and one another, each other. And so over here, and did I tell you Matthew 5? That's where I want you to go. Matthew 5. Let me read these verses first, and then we'll look at them. There's just a few of them right here. Matter of fact, just two that I want to read. Talking about the offenses, I guess. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Now, let's just talk about the setting for a second in these couple verses. This is definitely a Jewish setting, so to speak, because we have an offering. Now, when we think of an offering, we think of, you know, us bringing our offering up to, you know, the church. and giving at offering time, or, you know, coming up and putting it in a basket. But here, this word actually means, the word offering means a sacrifice. And so it doesn't take us long to think about, you know, these Jewish sacrifices that were offered. If they would, you know, they would bring these, whatever type of sacrifice they were bringing at the time, they would bring it to the Lord, and they would offer this sacrifice upon the altar. An altar is simply a place of sacrifice. When we think about an altar, we think about, you know, what we have up here. We use this as an altar to come and pray. And so, you know, we can kind of make a practical application there about our own walk. You know, if we come up to the Lord and we're going to give our offering, or we're going to, you know, come to the Lord in prayer, or however. But here in this Jewish setting, we're actually talking about someone that would bring a sacrifice or an offering to an altar to give it unto the Lord. And God is speaking here and tells them this. He says, listen, if you bring your offering to the Lord, or you bring the sacrifice to the altar, and you realize that your brother has aught against you, he actually instructs them here to leave, go, stop what you're doing, go and be reconciled with thy brother, and then return and give the offering. Now, when I read this morning, my first thought was there in the prophets, when over and over again, and I had written down one specific verse, but I really don't need to read it this morning. It's actually several places where it talks about those that were, that God would choose being obedient over a sacrifice, or that those that would offer a sacrifice, but their heart would be far from the Lord. Now, as I say that, I know you're thinking of scriptures in the Old Testament that talks about that through the prophets over and over again. It talks about those that would, you know, they were going through the ritual of sacrificing, but yet their heart was so far removed from them. And so here, we're still, in Matthew 5, we're still dealing with First Covenant. I mean, these people, sacrifices are still being offered when Jesus says these words. I mean, they're still under Old Covenant. And so when Jesus says it, listen, this is one of those places where he kept saying, ye have heard, but I say. Ye have heard, but I say. Ye have heard, don't commit adultery. But I say, if you even look at a woman in lust in your heart, you've committed it. You know, it's one of those, you have heard this, but I say this, you have heard, thou shalt not kill, but I say. And so he was taking what they considered to be righteousness. All right, I just don't have to kill someone. And then they take it. Jesus says, listen, it's not enough. You think just because you haven't committed murder, you're okay? I'm telling you, the righteousness that is required under the law is that you don't even hate your brother. And so you're sitting there saying this morning the same thing I thought. Well, who then can be saved, Lord? Aren't you glad for the grace of Jesus Christ? Amen. It's His righteousness. But yet here in this specific thing, He's telling them, leave your sacrifice. This is something that we can still do. Leave our offering and go be reconciled to our brother, then return. And so that this offense that happened because the brother was, you offended. It seems like to me that offense was something maybe you had caused, whether purposefully or not purposefully, I'm not sure. But he says, leave thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Now the word reconciled there means to do something to change the situation. Do something that the current situation is altered. Where you are right now with your brother, go do something to fix the problem. All right? So, stop, go, be reconciled, and return. And I do think that there could be some application in our own life. You know, right now, we're not under First Covenant. Thank God for the new and the living way that we have in Jesus Christ. But I do think, you know, when we come to church and we, whether God, the Spirit of God maybe brings it to our mind that we've offended someone, you know, it's probably not out of the way to go get it right then. I think that would be perfectly okay. You know, especially if they're sitting in church, that might not be a bad time to do it. When the Spirit of God moving, people's worshiping, we're feeling, you know, the presence of God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, just like the songs we were just singing. You know, and those songs that just touch our heart and touch our life and just maybe breaks up that fallow ground, and the Spirit of God can come and reign. That's not a bad time to say, you know what, I've offended. I'm sorry. Be reconciled. And if nothing else, I think we can see this morning the preeminence that God places on forgiveness. Just as He has forgiven us. Now, just a few, actually just maybe turn over one place here. Same book, Matthew. Toward the end, I guess. Matthew 18. Same book, same teacher. Similar subject. Talking about forgiveness here. There's two questions here in Matthew 18 that the disciples of Jesus ask. And I think it's, I'm not going to read the whole chapter. We're actually going to look toward the end of this. But I do think it's important that we point out both questions that are asked in this chapter. And the first one we can find here in chapter 18 of Matthew. And it says, and at the same time, verse number 1, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Isn't that an interesting question to ask? Who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And if you're familiar with this story, you know how that Jesus took, and the scripture says he called a little child to him. And as that little child came, we got kind of a mental picture of this, how it took place, and how, you know, Jesus probably set him on his lap there and said, unless you come as a little child. Amen. And then from there he goes into, I guess, you know, when you think of a little child, you think of someone that is, pardon this, but the least in the kingdom. You know, a little child, they don't have a lot of influence. They don't, you know, they're not really part of decision making. They're not, you know, come as a little child. I mean, I think we would consider them, and pardon this, and I hope you understand what I mean by this, but the least. And so when he was talking about, the disciples asked the question, who is greatest in the kingdom of God? Who does Jesus call? But the least. The one that can really not do a whole lot. Let's just be realistic here. A little child cannot do a lot for the kingdom of God. But yet this is the example that Jesus chose to use about that one that would be greatest in the kingdom. And my thought this morning was this, was that how we are the greatest in the kingdom of God, and I know that's not what our motives are, but how we are greatest in the kingdom of God is to realize that our sufficiency is totally and completely toward God. Now, I know that it all sounds good about, you know, go at it, do, accomplish. You know, we can do it. We can lift ourselves up by our bootstraps and all this. But it seems like the more we've been studying this role of a servant, and even beyond this, when we were back there in Luke reading about the why Jesus came to this earth, it seems over and over again that he came for those that could do nothing for themselves. That their reliance and their, I guess, their look for help was going to have to be outside of them. This past week, we had to go up to the Shenandoah Valley there for the funeral of my uncle that had taken his life early last weekend. And, of course, he was part of, I guess, what you would consider a biker gang or something. I'm not even sure which one in particular, but during the funeral there was a lot of people that were at the funeral that were bikers or biker wannabes, I don't know what you'd call them, but they all had these jackets on, and one thing, I sat there in that church service, and I was looking around at these jackets, and I was reading the back of them, and they all dealt with one thing: I don't need anyone. I'm the lone wolf. One of them in particular, matter of fact, it was my cousin, the son of my uncle that had taken his life. His son was sitting there, and on the back of his jacket just said this. It said, the lone wolf. And I thought, as I sat there, I was like, oh, no. We can't make it on our own. You know, I know it sounds good and it makes you sound tough, but the facts are we can't deal with life by our own strength. Amen. You can't deal with what life brings to you on your own. You can't do it. Our sufficiency is of God and not of us. Amen. So when we're talking about forgiveness this morning, you know, Jesus chooses as an example of the greatest in the kingdom of God, a little child, and says, listen, except you come, except you be converted and become as a little child, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And from there, we won't read the rest of that part, but let's skip all the way down into the second question as he starts talking about forgiveness and he starts talking about, you know, the lamb going out and the one that the shepherd leaving the 99 behind and going out and searching after the one lost sheep and different topics there. It's definitely worth reading on your own if you get some time this week there in Matthew 18. But listen to the second question that Peter asked. It says, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? And now let's just read this parable this morning that Jesus uses. Jesus saith unto them, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. When he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. Obviously a large sum of money here. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped, and saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will repay thee. Then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion, loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, a very small amount of money. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into the prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Let's just let that parable that Jesus used here speak to us this morning on the priority of forgiveness and how, when we really think about how that God has forgiven us, when Peter asked that question, he said, Lord, how many times? Seven times? I don't know if this is accurate or not, but I did read in one reference there in regards to this question that Peter asked was that the required amount by the Pharisees was three times. So I don't know. I didn't check that. I didn't have a real good way of doing it. But so when Peter said seven, he basically took the three, doubled it, and then added one to grow on. I don't know. So seven times. And so when Jesus answers unto them, he goes, no, not seven. Seven times 70. 70 times seven. Now, over in Luke, it gets a little more specific. It says, in a day. So, I'm not a math whiz, but I think that's 490 times in one day. Anybody got a calculator? Want to check me on that? That's a lot. Now, let me say this morning. The disciples had walked with Jesus. They had, up to this point, they had witnessed him open blinded eyes. He had
I think up till now, he has called a dead man out of the grave. Cast out many devils, people possessed with devils. The list goes on. I could continue this morning. And if you look over in Luke, the same story, of all the times, of all the questions they asked, when Jesus starts talking about forgiveness, and Peter says, Lord, how many times? Seven times? And then Jesus answers, no, 70 times seven in a day. This is when the disciples cried out, oh Lord, increase our faith. Not when he was watching dead men raised. Not when they were talking about blinded eyes being opened or deaf ears being unstopped. But when Jesus began to talk about forgiveness, that's when they say, oh Lord, increase our faith. Because this is hard. This is something that all of a sudden, you know, we pray for a blind eye's not open. We say, okay, Lord, that's your will. But we start talking about forgiveness, and then our part of forgiving others that offended us, then all of a sudden we've got some responsibility here to guard our heart. So how can we guard our heart? Peter or Paul said it this way, put away the poison. Put away the bitterness. Don't let it overtake you. Don't drink that cup. Amen? Don't drink it. Put it away from you. Release it. Lord, increase our faith. I tell you, when I read about these, I'm the same way those disciples were. And I say, God, Lord, increase our faith this morning. Lord, when we're talking about forgiveness and not letting bitterness step in, how important it is that we guard our heart. Let me ask you this morning. If you were up here preaching today and you had to think about somebody, and I'll give you just a second to think about this. You had to think about someone in the Old Testament, because this is the first one to come to my mind. Maybe I want to see if it's yours too. Who comes to mind when you think about forgiveness in Old Testament Scripture? I'll give you just a second. Anybody want to share? Say it again. David. If there's something that when I think about David, I actually had Joseph in mind. But as you mentioned David, I do think about, because here's my thought with David and with Joseph as well and others. And I'm not even sure I can put this in words this morning, but to really forgive, like in David's situation, I think it would have to be with King Saul and how Saul pursued him. Saul had jealousy, malice, and David had opportunity to repay. Same with Joseph. Joseph that had been cast into a pit by his own brothers, that had been sold as a slave. My point is this. I think there's got to be, just outside of the matter of just simply forgiving because God tells us to forgive. Lord, you've instructed us to forgive others, so we're going to forgive. Think about this morning. David, Joseph. It seems apparent that they had some type of understanding, and they were willing to submit to the will of God in their life, that they could look beyond the situation and maybe what was going on with them dealing with other people and say, God, if this has come into my life, then it's your will. Lord, if I'm facing this hardship or if I'm facing this offense, then you've brought it in. If I've been overlooked for a promotion, or if I, you know, something has happened in a negative sense, instead of looking at that one that may be causing the offense or may have caused you not to be in the position that you think you need to be in, look to God, who's directing our every step, every day of our life,
whose hands we have committed ourselves unto, and say, God, if you've brought this into my life for some reason or kept this from me, shall we say, then, for example, in David's situation, Lord, it's your will. Your will is being accomplished here. And so I'm just going to trust you. It's trusting God in our life that's able to keep us from bitterness and understanding the sovereignty of God. I'll try to quote this verse. I may not get it exactly right. But in the instance with Joseph, if you remember, after his their father, help me, Isaac? Jacob. Yes, Jacob. After Jacob had died, then if you remember how that Joseph's brothers came to him, and they just knew that the only reason Joseph hadn't dropped the bomb on them there when he finally, when they came to him in Egypt, was because their father was still living. And they just knew that was the case. And so when they buried their father, they just knew Joseph was going to, you know, sock it to him. And they come to him and they said, we're going to be your servants. And do you remember Joseph's response to that? He said, you meant it for evil. That's fact. You meant it for evil. There's no doubt in that. But God meant it for good. You meant to do me wrong. But somehow, and maybe it is the fact simply that Joseph was looking back from where he was to where he had been and could clearly see the hand of God, and that God had put him there for a reason. But it does seem like all through Joseph's life, I can't find much negative there. I can't find a whole lot there that would point to him becoming bitter or hard. And, you know, I've heard people preach it, and sometimes it's kind of hard to get it. You know, well, Joseph did. Well, you've got to do it. Well, I'm assuming, because I'll tell you what, when he was sitting in that prison and still interpreting dreams, and then he would help someone, they'd leave and just forget all about him. Put in prison for trying to do what's right. Lord have mercy. But he said, you meant it for evil. God meant it for good, so that he could bring about a deliverance. He could look back and see the hand of God. But what I'm trying to tell us this morning is somehow, and I'm just now learning this, I'll be honest with you. I'm just now learning this. That, Lord, if something doesn't happen that I want to happen, then God, it's just you closing the door and leading us somewhere else or leading me down this path. And there's no reason. There's really not. You know, if we really believe in the sovereignty and leading of God, then there's not a whole lot of reason to start pointing at fingers at other people and say, well, this happened because of you or that or the other. Let's just put our hands on, you know, just God, it's you. Well, we're just committed to you. Well, we're just committed to you. Lord, keep me from bitterness. Offenses will come. It's impossible they won't come. But Lord, you just keep my heart. Amen. Lord, help me to forgive. Help me to continue. There's a verse of Scripture over in Proverbs, and I think I can probably quote this one pretty close, but I've tried to live by this, and it's this. It says, only by pride cometh contention. And you can pretty much bank on that. So said Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, tells us that when there's contention present, whether it be between a husband and a wife, whether it be between two friends, a brother, sister, whatever, when there's contention or when there's a quarrel, is what that word means, when there's a fight present, there's pride somewhere. Amen? Someone is too haughty to forgive or ask forgiveness. Solomon said it, not me. I didn't make that up. It's over there. It's there somewhere. Do a word search and find it, and maybe put that one on your, you know. If you and your mate are in an argument, and that thing just continues and continues, somebody's too proud. There's pride there that you need to address. Only by pride cometh contention. Amen. And I know
There's a whole lot in the scripture where God, how he deals with pride. And I think, as David likes to say, he's against it. I think he's against it. All right? So let's guard our hearts. The heart of a servant forgives. And why does it forgive? Because just as that parable that Jesus gave there in Matthew 18, because we have been forgiven of so much. Amen. That God has forgiven us of so much, and we ought to forgive. How many times, Lord? 7 times? 70 times 7. Oh, Lord, increase our faith. Amen. Forgive this morning. Increase our faith, God. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, for your direction, God, that your scripture, your word gives to us today. Lord, we are so glad that we, Lord, we're just not studying a book. We're just not looking at a book of rules and regulations, God, but this is a matter of the heart, and this is a relationship. Lord, our relationship, Lord, our ability to forgive, we understand this morning is in direct correlation with our relationship with you, Father, and our understanding, God, that your will be accomplished in our life no matter what. Lord, that our life is in your hands, God, and we're willing to yield to that. God, and when things come our way that we don't understand, difficulties or offenses come into our life, God, we just want to submit to you. Lord, and be willing to forgive and guard our heart against the poisons of bitterness, Lord, of wrath, anger, malice, these things. God, let them be put far away from us. And we just give you the praise, Lord, knowing that it's only through you, Lord, that we are kept every day. Lord, only through you, Lord, that these things are kept from us. We give you the praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen.